Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
We are back for hour number two. Hour number Tuesday. Conrad, do you think Tuesday has a feel?
It does.
What does it feel like to you, Tuesday?
It feels like in the summer, just a day to get outside.
Interesting. Okay. I thought of you today because Todd Michaels, not in a weird way, Todd Michaels sends out a sheet with all kinds of fun facts on it occasionally. Todd is the producer of the Mino and the Mayor show here in the mornings. If you haven't checked it out, you absolutely must, because John and Jim are a lot of fun, as is Todd. But Todd said that, or the sheet said that today was National Pajama Day. I'm not equating when you wear shorts, but John Mino was giving you a hard time about your shorts. And I've seen John in some pretty suspect clothes myself, so I don't think he should be judging you. But, you know, that's close to wear your pajamas to work day. And I spent some time in grade schools. I'd volunteer and I worked part-time in my daughter's school. And boy, there's a pajama day almost every other day. I don't get that. In fact, if we're going to go with a four-day work week, and by the way, 30% of CEOs are in favor of that. Maybe they think their workers would be more productive if they only work 4 days a week. Because you're there for 8 hours. What's the difference? Add another 2 hours. I would much rather do that and have the three-day weekend. But 30% of CEOs are in favor. That's kind of cool. Maybe it'll happen. Or a 4.5 day, which usually means Friday would be the half day, possibly Monday. But I don't know. 77% of Americans said it would have a positive impact on their lives. And half of them said an extremely positive impact if they only worked 4 days. So what's the holdup? Let's get going on this. Let's take back the UP for Wisconsin and have a four-day work week.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, doesn't it? It'd be a lot of work for the taking back the UP thing. But absolutely. So, okay, we just had Rick Overton on the show, and I felt like we had some bad connection issue. I don't know if it was out in California or if it was on our end. We are having bad weather in the state. But this is one of my favorite scenes from Groundhog Day that I really didn't get to discuss in the kind of detail I would have preferred with Rick. So let's play. This is he and another comedian playing opposite Bill Murray. They play like the two town drunks, and they're very funny. And this is Rick, who has the kind of the last line in this scene.
This thing sticks a little bit.
Come on out here, pal.
Oh, come on, give me your keys, pal. Give me the keys. Friends don't let friends drive, right? Come on, stand up here. Take a deep breath. You feel okay? Really? Okay, you're all right. Oh, whoa. You want to throw up here? You want to throw up in the car?
I think both.
Come on.
That's great stuff. In the scene before that, they're drinking in a bowling alley, and Bill Murray is saying, can you imagine living the same day over and over? Your life is the exact same. You don't impact anything, and every day is exactly the same. Well, the two Ricks are throwing back shots at the local bowling alley. Such a brilliant, genius movie. In my top five all time. So the other thing was the movie Vacation. Did it drop this week, Conrad, or was it, did we have a birthday?
It was
Anthony Michael Hall's birthday. He turned 56. He has some really funny lines in Vacation, and he has some great scenes with Chevy Chase. So why don't we hear the week of Anthony Michael Hall's 56th birthday, some of his best work, in my opinion, from the original Vacation. Here's a scene where he shares his first beer with his dad, Clark W. Griswold.
You know what I want to do? When I was your age, my dad shared a beer with me, and I thought it was about the best thing in the world.
Ah.
I was a boy, just about every summer we'd take a vacation. And you know, in 18 years...
He's guzzling the beer.
We never had fun. But now I have my own family, and, well, we're on our own vacation. And you know something, Russ?
What that?
We're gonna have fun. We're gonna have fun. Hey, don't let your mother smell that beer on your breath. She'll take it out on me. Good talk, son.
Good talk, Dad.
Did you see the remake of Vacation?
With Ed Helms?
Ed Helms.
Yeah. Yes.
I did not see it. And I love Ed Helms.
It's actually really funny.
Is it?
I enjoyed it. I've probably seen it like 5 times now.
Have you seen this one? Have you seen the original?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them all.
How would you compare the two of them?
Oh, well, there's no comparison to the originals.
Right. But I mean, the Ed Helms one is a remake of the original Vacation. From 1983. Are they similar?
Yeah,
or?
They're very similar.
Okay.
And it's cool because you do get to see Clark in it.
Oh,
he's in it for just a little bit.
Okay.
They go, they're almost to Wally World. And Clark has a bed and breakfast. And it's the worst bed and breakfast you could ever go to.
Oh, that's great.
I would definitely recommend seeing it.
Is he playing Clark Griswold?
Yeah.
So what, he left his family or something, or what happened there?
No, actually, Ed plays Rusty. Rusty, sorry.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it's his family that goes on a vacation now.
Okay.
And he always talks about how his dad takes him to Wally World and stuff like that.
Oh, that's great. All right, let's hear some more Vacation. This is after they couldn't find a road sign. And they're arguing, and if you've been on family vacations in cars, this is pretty close to home.
Dad, I haven't seen a car for an hour.
Oh, shut up, Audrey. You don't think Dad knows where he's going.
Thank you, Russ.
You're lost.
Ma, I saw some detour signs.
I didn't see any.
I saw them when you and Mom were trying to fold the map.
Audrey, when they close the road, they put up big signs like this one.
Broke my nose.
I stabbed my brain.
I just got my period.
I better check under the hood.
Audrey, gather up all the clothes and put them in a pile. Rusty, find the first aid kit, then get the suitcases and bring them here.
Mom, where can I go to the bathroom?
Find a bush, Audrey.
Hey, Dad, you must have jumped this thing about 50 yards.
That's nothing to be proud of, Rusty. 50 yards.
That's so great. I've probably seen that film 30 times in my life, maybe more.
What do you think about Vegas Vacation?
Eh.
I have this. Yeah, it's all right.
It's forgettable because I've seen it and I can't tell you one. I did like European Vacation. There's a few funny things. The wet hot wife, when they found the video camera and the kid, when he can't turn out of, he keeps saying, Big Ben, kids, Parliament. Some funny stuff. But yeah, the original Vacation to me is, there's nothing like it. Even Christmas Vacation. It's very funny, but it's not as good as pound for pound, I would say, as the original Vacation. So we got a text here. Bridget checks in from the 818. Yes to a 3-day weekend. Americans are more productive than ever. We deserve more time to relax, pursue hobbies, and in all caps, mind you, family time. You know, no one has disagreed with this yet.
No.
And we haven't had a ton of people weigh in, but the calls we got, the texts all say yes to a 3-day weekend. So on our to-do list here on Nightlight, we are going to take back the UP. And we are going to enforce somehow a 3-day weekend because, I don't know, it's a tall order, both of them.
It's on my memo list.
I think so. I hope so. I want you to forget about it. All right. It's also Martin Lawrence's birthday today. I think Martin Lawrence is really funny. And John Cryer, they both have birthdays today. They were both part of very hit. Well, Martin Lawrence, I would say, had more success in movies. His show Martin had its moments, but I didn't think it was a great show, but he's very funny in it. Can we squeeze another clip in here, Conrad, before we bring Don in?
Yeah, we can do the John Cryer, Two and a Half Men clip. Yeah.
All right, let's do it. This is John Cryer from Two and a Half Men. Any setup we need here?
No, it's just what the show is. You know? Joke.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about bad parenting is the clip I got. So.
Okay.
Charlie? Yeah? Private word. Sure. What's up? Shame on you. Is that it? I found that girl, and now you have some kind of depraved plan to use my son as bait.
Yeah, so? It's not like he pays rent. Why shouldn't he pitch in all?
I will not allow it. Oh, come on. It's just a couple of ballet lessons.
Ballet? Him? I think he has a quiet grace about him. He doesn't have to be good at it. He just has to show up. One lesson, I'm begging you.
You know what? It really doesn't matter what I say. You will never convince him to take ballet.
But if I can, will you stay out of it?
I guess.
Great. Hey, Jake.
Okay, that might have been bad parenting on my part.
Were you a fan? Did you watch the show?
I've never seen it through.
Same.
I've seen episodes. It's an okay show to me.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I don't think I've ever seen a full episode, but I have seen bits and pieces. Very good joke writers. There are very good writers on it. I had a couple friends that wrote on it. Mark Roberts, who was a brilliant Chicago comedian, wrote on that and then pitched the show Mike and Molly to Chuck Lorre, who was the executive producer. And Mike and Molly went on to be a big hit, as we know. And then Mark got fired from his own show that he created because he didn't get along with Melissa McCarthy. So they paid him like $60 million to go away. I don't care who the other person is. I'm taking that money. I don't know. That's just me, though.
I would do the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, Melissa McCarthy's great, but we don't have to talk ever again. Okay, so next, coming up next, this is exciting. Part two of my interview with Don Rosen. It's a mini-series, folks. Don is the WRJN morning host in Racine. And Jerry Seinfeld's best friend. That's how I bring him on the show every time. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Welcome back. Are you going to play Al Green?
I will.
Okay. It's Al Green's birthday this week. 77, I think Al Green is. Al Green has some of the best. His songs just appear at the best times in movies, especially Let's Stay Together. I think that was Pulp Fiction. While Bruce Willis is kind of getting a talking to by Ving Rhames. Good stuff. Next week on the program, folks, John McGivern from Main Street joins me. That's next Tuesday here on Nightlight. He'll be along. It'll be fun to talk to John. I was a guest on his show Around the Corner years ago. And I walked around my town in Marinette, where I live, just showing John things. It was a lot of fun. He's a great guy. I know where he gets his energy. Very funny guy, very good guy. He's going to be here next Tuesday night, April 23rd at 7:35. That'll be fun. Mark your calendars. Coming to the show now, I'm very excited. Again, part two, when you have a colleague like Don Rosen, you can't just interview him once. Well, you can if you leave yourself enough time, which I didn't last week. So we have Don back on the show this week to finish our interview, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Don.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good. Now, you mentioned that Al Green was how old?
Well, I have to double check here. Let's go to the sheet.
70?
I thought 77. 78. He is 78 years old. That seems young.
I found out tonight Tony Tennille is 83.
Oh, really?
From the Captain and Tennille. Yeah.
83.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she?
She's one of the people.
Go ahead, Don. Sorry.
Was that? I said she's one of the people I interviewed, and I was going to tell you the story about her. We set up the interview through somebody, I forget who it was, and I said, oh, this is going to be a 10-minute interview. I know it. What can you talk about with the captain and Tennille? Well, they sent me the book, and I read it, and very interesting life, and we stayed on the phone for 1 hour.
Whoa.
And I asked her, is there anything off limits? Because at that time, she got divorced from Daryl Dragon, who was the captain. And I said, can we talk about that? Yes, we can. Now, I don't think he was dead at the time. But she said, so we could talk about my divorce. There wasn't anything that she wouldn't talk about. Wow. And when we took the 5-minute news break at the bottom of the hour, she said, I'm just going to get a little drink. I'll be right back. She got a drink of water. And she was sitting in her living room in Florida. And it was the most wonderful conversation. What a nice lady.
No,
she just talked about everything. And I was amazed how open she was about all these topics. Because, you know, divorce is a hard topic to talk about. And she talked about it. And
yeah.
She was one of my favorites. Yeah.
That's a really cool one. And I didn't realize that Daryl Dragon, the captain, had passed away. That, you know what that tells me? Tony Tennille is in play. I'm just saying, Don. She's not at the top of the charts anymore. I think I got a shot.
No, you don't have a shot.
Hey, thanks for the vote of confidence.
Daryl Dragon had a famous father who was also a musician, Carmen Dragon.
Wow.
And we talked a little about him, and that was her father-in-law, Carmen Dragon.
No kidding.
What a great name to have. Dragon.
Dragon is a great name. You know what's so funny, Don? Now these yacht rock bands are popping up all over the place, and they just sing cover tunes. They sing like the fun songs from the 70s and 80s. But there's one, and I have a guy coming on the show in a couple weeks. The whole band is dressed like the captain. They got the hat on and the coats. And there are bands from Wisconsin that are yacht rock bands, and they do the captain thing too. I think in some way he inspired yacht rock, and I don't know where that came from or why he's associated with it.
Yeah, where did that name yacht rock come from? I asked my wife the other day. We're listening on the radio, and they're promoting a format called yacht rock.
Yeah.
And I said, another radio station I work for out in the western part of the country, they want them to do the yacht rock show. As long as I was there, they wound up getting somebody else because I wasn't for doing it. But where did you get that term yacht rock?
Well,
I don't even know what it means.
Yeah, I'm not a boatsman, so I'm probably the wrong guy to. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. I don't know. I guess it's like the music you play when you're sipping a margarita on a big cigarette boat or something. I'm just guessing.
No, you're just going after 83-year-old women. That's all you're doing.
Not women, woman. It's. Tennille.
Woman.
I mean, that's
Tony Tennille.
Yeah. I bet she's still vibrant. She's probably very interesting. You talked to her for an hour and you said she was great. So, you know, I'm not superficial.
She was so pleasant and she was just a pleasant person. I wanted to play a game with you.
Okay.
And I don't know if we have enough time now to do it. I want you to name a star, past, whatever you want to name. That could be a classic star from the past, whatever. And I do this occasionally with myself. I can link myself to those actors by people I interviewed.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that's a cool game.
If you like Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
If you say Steve McQueen, I can link myself to Steve McQueen because I spoke to Donny Osmond. He called me up at my house one day. That's a story unto itself. So Donny Osmond, he was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamboat.
Fun show.
With Richard Attenborough. Who played his father, who was in The Great Escape with Steve McQueen.
Nice.
So that's like to link myself.
That's like the Kevin Bacon game. Yeah, my aunt actually was in a movie with Steve McQueen shot in Chicago called The Hunter. And
his last movie, yeah.
You're right, that was his last movie. And they did the thing where the car went out the Marina City Towers, and it was this crazy stunt. Yeah, I didn't realize... You know what's weird is when you outlive these movie icons who seem so old when you're young, and then you're like, wow, that guy died. He was 10 years younger than I am now when he died, or whatever it is. You know, it's so nuts.
I have this Facebook thing I follow. It comes to the pop-ups on the Hollywood Death Watch or something. It's something like that. It's a little nicer than that. And all these actors who passed away in past years, They're younger when they died than I am now.
I know. It's so weird.
And I said, wow. Yeah.
It's like humbling.
Also, my height. It is. You know, I'm looking at the list of people that I interviewed here, and so many of them are dead. And, yeah, I got to tell you a quick story.
They were alive when you interviewed them, though, right?
Most of them.
Okay.
Actually.
Maybe a couple you're not so sure.
So on my very first radio station I worked at back in 1972, I'm on their Facebook page. And I tell these stories now because I have vivid memory of all these stories when I worked there. And one of them was we had a softcore porn actress come into the radio station. It's a small station, local radio station in Long Island. Okay. And a porn actress came in, and then we interviewed her on the air. I didn't do the interview, but one of the news people did. And nobody can remember who it was. And I know exactly who it was because she was my age when she came in and I fell in love with her. Like, in, you know, really? Like you fell in love with Tony Tennille. I fell in love with her. But to this day, she denies she made any X-rated movies, but I have the movie poster I found online. She was a softcore porn actress called Christine DeBell. Now, she since went on to other things. And when softcore actresses do that, they want to kind of forget their past.
Sure.
But I have the movie poster. It was called Alice in Wonderland, and it was rated X.
Wow.
And it's a sex farce, but it's a softcore porn film. It's all full of nudity and, you know, simulated sex and everything. But my question was, what was she doing in this radio station promoting this softcore movie in this nice little family radio station?
All right, Don just shared something. Now I feel like I have to share something very similar, and I'll do that next. My guest is Don Rosen from the WRJN Morning Show. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night, and glad you're here too, Don. Coming up next, more Don Rosen.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwab podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwab anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwab.
We have two questions tonight because we couldn't agree on one. What is the dumbest thing you spend money on? Mine is takeout food. I spend way too much on takeout. And the other one is, would you be in favor of a three-day weekend? Most Americans overwhelmingly actually say they would be. And a lot of CEOs seem to agree with that, too. So you can let us know what you think at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And overwhelmingly tonight, I would say people are in favor of the three-day weekend. But a lot of people say they spend too much money on coffee, too. I don't know. Let's see what Don Rosen thinks. Don, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So, okay. We were talking.
So name me some famous actors from the past. Give me a couple of them, and I'll tell you how I'm related to them. How I can relate myself to them. Throw some names out, old movies and so forth.
This is good. I was going to continue the adult film actress thing, but this is much more wholesome to go this route.
We can do that.
Well, I'll just tell you very quickly. After, do you remember there was an adult film actress called Seika?
Yes, I met her once, yes.
Yeah, same. She and I dated in the late 80s. Anyway, we did not date Seika. She did radio in Chicago, and she used to hang out at this bar that a lot of comics hung out at. And a couple of my friends started talking, and I'm like, who is that? And it's like, oh, that's Seika from the porn world or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. So like four or five of us were hovering around her, and one of my friends was like grilling her and asking about her professorial skills and did she ever write any of her movies? I mean, the questions were preposterous. It was hilarious. And I ended up thumb wrestling her, and she crushed me. I was going to kind of take it easy, and she went for it and pinned my thumb in about a second and a half. It was embarrassing.
Well, I met her at the Consumer Electronics Show in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
They had a whole floor of nothing but adult films and so forth. And at the time, they were just pushing video. VHS and Beta had just, you know, came out, and they're making a lot of porn films and that. And Ginger Lynn, who was one of the big stars of the day, was there.
Okay.
And she said, I have one more Polaroid left. Would you like to take the picture? I'll just give it to you. And I said, okay. So we took a picture, and I looked like a frightened little kid in that picture. And she was leaning against me with her hand on me, and I was like, you know, like a high school kid, just scared to death.
How old were you?
I still have it somewhere. Yeah, I still have it somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Anyway. Next to your bed in a frame, probably.
No. In a box in the basement, I think. Okay, so give me some big actors from the past.
Okay, I've actually had a couple from when you first brought this up. And I do want to talk Seinfeld with you, too, the peripheral characters. We got to have a discussion about that. But let me start with this name, Albert Finney.
Okay, give me a couple because I got to think about
it. Yeah. He was in Miller's Crossing.
Okay, give me another one.
Okay, let's see. Gene Hackman.
Okay. And give me one more.
Kathy Bates.
Okay. Now, I have to think about some of this for a second because I'm not sure some of these. Okay,
I could go younger. Those are all pretty. Those are all pretty old.
That's okay. No. That's okay. I'm not gonna. That's okay. Well, let me just think about some of these for a second here because I like Mickey Rooney. I interviewed. I could hook him up with Judy Garland.
Oh wow.
I got to find out what other movies he was in that I could hook up with some of these guys. Ernest Borgnine. So I could hook Ernest Borgnine up with Lee Marvin.
Yeah.
And Lee Marvin and Gene Hackman might have been in the movie together, and I'm thinking about the film. It's not Pocket Money. That was Paul Newman. So let me think about that.
Okay.
Let me see one more here. I've got Gary Sinise I interviewed. Tony Randall I ate dinner with one night. Now, Tony Randall, the Albert Finney. Oh, I'm trying to think of some of the movies. He was in the musical Scrooge. He was in, I could hook him up with, I'll think about these, but go ahead.
Okay. No, you were right about Gene Hackman was in a film called Prime Cut with Lee Marvin.
Prime Cut. Okay, so there you go. So I was Ernest Borgnine I interviewed.
Okay.
And he was in the movie The Emperor of the North with Lee Marvin, and Lee Marvin was with Gene Hackman. I got hooked up.
And Tony Tennille sang the theme song, and I hung out with her in her trailer.
By the way, I still have her home phone number. She wants me to hook you up.
Well, an email introduction would probably be better. But any way you can get me in front of her for some FaceTime, that would be great.
I got her phone number somewhere.
Hey, I want to ask you, you've had this really cool long career in radio. Who are some of the people that you looked up to, Don? Like, I know you come from New York. There's Howard Stern, who's probably a little older than you may. I don't know, but Dahl, Garrison Keillor, you know.
Howard Stern and I are the same exact age.
Oh, wow.
We're born
okay.
the same year. And he grew up in a town which was about 15 minutes from my house. He grew up in Roosevelt, Long Island, and I was in Massapequa. They're about 15, 20 minutes away. He was pushing the movie Private Parts at what they call CinemaCon or Show West, one of those two shows.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine from Marcus Theaters was there, and he knew I was a big fan, so he got me Howard Stern to autograph some piece of memorabilia from the movie, and I have it here. And I'm a big fan of Howard Stern. I think the guy's a radio genius. He changed the face of radio forever. But
yeah,
he's
did.
Probably my biggest radio. When it comes to straight disc jockeys, a guy named Dan Ingram, who was at WABC, 77 WABC in the 60s, and he was just great, Dan Ingram. He just knew how to work that microphone. But he was just a straight disc jockey, but he knew how to work it. So Howard Stern, when it comes to radio personality, Dan Ingram is a radio disc jockey. He was just great.
Okay, that's cool. It's funny. I know some friends of mine worked for the guy from Private Parts who they nicknamed affectionately enough Pig Vomit. And they ended up working for him in Chicago. So I was like, oh, wow, this is a real character. I think, did Paul Giamatti play him maybe?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And it was Kevin Matheny. The real guy's name was Kevin Matheny.
Okay.
and he worked at WNBC Radio in New York. And actually, they called him in real life Pig Virus, but they wouldn't let him use that in the movie, Pig Virus. So not that Pig Vomit is any better.
Right. Right. Swine Flu would have been a good one.
Yes, but
my guest is Don Rosen. He's the morning host on WRJN down in Southeast Wisconsin. Check out his show. I want to talk some Seinfeld with you, Don, but you got any interesting stuff you want to push coming up in the next few mornings?
No.
All right, let's get to Seinfeld.
They're local Racine guests that have to do with what's going on in Racine and probably wouldn't have much interest outside the Racine area.
Well, we're on statewide here, I trust. Conrad, check our demographics, will you? How many people do we have listening in Racine right now? We
can sounds good. Let's pull it up quick.
I think you got a ball. I think the Brewers are playing in Racine right now. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah. We have tomorrow the new managers of Festival Hall right on the lakefront. Yesterday we had on the new guy who runs Salmonorama, which is a fishing contest on the Great Lakes, the biggest fishing contest. And this year's prize is $50,000. So it's not a, you know, small little fishing contest. There are big prizes and buffs. We had him on Monday. Today I had on one of our aldermen, and she's also on the County Board of Supervisors. She's very entertaining to talk to on the radio. And I got a whole bunch of other people.
50 grand, that's some pretty good walking around money. We had Stuart Waddles was on the show a couple weeks ago, and he was telling us about Salmonorama. Oh, yeah. That sounds like a really fun event.
Yeah, I was interviewing somebody once, and he said, well, what's going on in Racine? And I said, well, we have Salmonorama. He goes, Salmono what?
That's
if you're
hilarious.
Not a fisherman, you don't know about.
All right.
Yeah, Seinfeld. So Jerry, the other day, somebody posted a picture of him as he, you know, today.
Yeah.
In front of his old house in Massapequa on Eastgate Road.
Oh, wow.
Now, I lived on Westgate Road, just one block away, and our house was exactly the same, but a mirror image of the house. There were three styles of homes in that area. One was Jerry's home, and which was a mirror image of my house, and there were two other designs, but it was the same house. And I was looking at the house when he was standing in front of it, thinking of all the times we played in that garage with his father's his father had a sign company.
Right.
And we used to play amongst all those signs and letters and stuff, just hanging around there. It brought back some memories. But, you know, you were little kids then.
That's so great. You told me
earlier
that your favorite Seinfeld character is not one of the main four.
Nope.
So I wrote down as many peripheral characters as I could find. And I actually kind of ranked some. So let's talk about it. Who is your favorite and who are some others that you're a fan of?
Okay. My favorite, I could tell you by just two words. Egregious. Preposterous. This is one of the biggest humiliations I've been involved in.
Wow.
Jackie Childs.
Oh, I should have known that. Jackie. Yeah. He represented Kramer during his smoking lawsuit.
Well, even when he had the, remember he got burned by the coffee?
Yeah, right.
And the maestro gave him a bomb to put on. And Jackie, who told you to put on the bomb? Bombs can be mysterious. Who told you to put that bomb? Did I tell you to put that bomb on? And then when he goes to the coffee company, they're going to offer him free coffee for life and $50,000. They're going to pay him off. So he says, we'd like to offer you free coffee for life plus. And he goes, I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Yeah. And Jackie Chan says, wait a second. He said plus. He said, I'll let you have some of the coffee. I'll buy my own coffee. I don't need free coffee. I can buy my own coffee.
This is another great public
humiliation.
I love it.
No, I love Jackie Childs.
Childs is a good one. And that's kind of, you know, timely, too, because we had OJ passed away last week. We, like, we're a community or something. No, but OJ passed away last week. And I meant to bring on the show Bob Costas. Conrad, remind me to find this tomorrow, and I'll share it with you too, Don. Bob Costas tells a story about talking to Johnny Cochran on an airline after the trial. It's a fascinating conversation. It's like a 2-minute interview Costas did, but I'll send that to you because I found it really, really interesting.
Johnny Cochran, he is Jackie Childs. They're the same people.
Oh,
exactly the same.
I think I ranked some of my side characters. To me, probably Estelle Costanza is my favorite that's not one of the main four, and specifically the episode where what's the dad's name? Frank Costanza sells computers out of his garage and he wants George to help him. And she's not even
Serenity Now.
Yeah, Serenity but now. She's not even in the episode. You only hear her from off stage, and he says he's going to give George or Lloyd Braun a free water pick, and you just hear that shrill voice. You're not giving away our water pick.
Okay, I'll tell you my favorite Estelle Costanza line.
Okay.
Is when she's in the hospital because she slipped while George was, looking at a magazine.
That's a great one.
And she says, my son is using his body as an amusement park.
Which gets your imagination going, like, what's he doing? You know, it's so funny.
And she says, Georgie, can you get me a sandwich next door? I don't like their food here. Here, Mom, here's a Tic Tac. He wants to see the girl next door get a sponge bath.
Oh, that's great. I love the Costanzas. I love Putty. He just had such a great deadpan. And when he and Elaine are on that flight and they get back together and then she can't handle it, that he's just going to look at the seat in front of him the entire flight. She's like, do you want something to read? He's like, no, no, thanks. You want something to drink? No, thanks. What are you going to do? Just stare at the chair in front of you? That's right.
when she doesn't want to paint, she doesn't want to paint his face anymore to support the New Jersey NHL team. So he doesn't paint his face, that he paints his chest. She goes, you said you weren't going to paint anymore. I said, you said my face. Got to support the team. Got to support the team.
Oh, it's so great. When he just looks at her and says, let's make out, babe. I love it. All right, we got a few more minutes with Don Rosen coming up next. We're talking Seinfeld, and I got a surprise question I'm going to ask Don, too. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dressed up like Elvis, why am I wearing your class ring? Don't call your mother, because no one partners in crime. Don't be a baby, remember what you told me. Shut up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas. Get up and shake the glitter off your clothes. 1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome back. So much fun hanging out on a Tuesday night, a rainy Tuesday night, talking about TV and movies, talking to Rick Overton, Don Rosen. Tomorrow night on the show, I have Hundreds of Beavers director Mike Cheslick joins me. And then, Conrad, who's the Roper Romp? What do we call that again?
It's Miss Roper's Rompers Fundraiser.
Right. Everybody dresses like Mrs. Roper here in Green Bay, and they walk around and go to the bars. Like, people in Green Bay need another reason to go to the bars. But we're going to have a woman from Mrs. Roper's Romp or whatever. And then the director of Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. I know that's an interesting title, but it's a very poignant film that delves into breast cancer. And the director of the film, Justin Superstar, and just as interesting a name as the title of the film, he'll be here tomorrow at 8:35. So we're going to talk some independent film. Hundreds of Beavers is kind of taking over the independent film world. It's a big hit, and it's very funny. Don, so we were talking Seinfeld. My guest is Don Rosen from WRJN here on Civic Media. Where are you at on the soup Nazi?
Did you ever hear the soup Nazi when he wasn't in character? He was on that program. It was a quiz show where they had to answer. I can't remember the name of the show. Regis Philbin was the original host of the quiz show. And he's so soft-spoken. He's a very quiet guy.
Oh, really?
And no soup for you.
He's
like
great.
He says to George,
he's great. I just felt like the episode was very over the top. It never really did anything for me. I don't know.
You're pressing your luck, little man.
All right. So go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know how they got some of these big stars to be on Seinfeld. But when you think about it, they got Raquel Welch to be on Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when they went to, that's when Kramer was a seat filler at the Tony Awards.
Right.
And he wound up going on stage accepting a Tony Award. They let him keep it if he'd have Raquel Welch fired from the show. That's the one where she wouldn't swing her arms. Remember that?
Oh,
the arm swinger?
Yeah.
They got Lawrence Tierney, who was a major actor in the 1940s and 50s. They got him to play Elaine's father on the Jacket episode.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
That was my mother's favorite. Especially when they go to the George's in the bathroom and Jerry meets him and he says, oh, I can't go out there again. It's brutal. I can't go out. She said, just tell him we're frightened and we have to leave. And Jerry said, he'll clunk our heads together like Mo.
Like Mo. And then he says, I'll have scotch. And Jerry says, I'd like a cranberry juice with two limes.
And the ice thing. So how they got him to do it, I'll never know. Then they got Sherry North, who was also a big actress. Sherry North played Cosmo's mother.
Oh, yeah.
Cosmo Kramer's mother. Sherry North.
That's
right. I can't think of the guy's name, but he's a major actor. He played Mr. Bookman, who was a library detective.
I can tell you.
I can't think of his name.
Momentarily. He was also in the movie Heart Eight. He was in Midnight Run. Bear with
big
me.
Big actor.
He's a great actor, yeah.
Mr. Bookman.
Your actual name is Bookman? And he just stole the show. I mean, he was so great in that episode.
I like what Kramer said. It's like an ice cream salesman named Cone.
Philip Baker Hall. That's who it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of big.
Really great actors.
And I'm sure if I think about it, they've got so many big actors to go on the Seinfeld show.
Yeah.
I mean, when did you ever see Raquel Welch on television doing a TV show?
But I think, once it gets popular enough, it all helps their Q rating, so to speak. I mean, if you have a hit, you'll draw some people, they're not going on, Roommates or whatever. Like Seinfeld, that show became so huge.
You know, even people, the guy who played Newman, Knight, what's
Wayne
his name?
Knight, yeah.
Wayne Knight. He was in Jurassic Park. He was in the movie when, do you remember when Sharon Stone crossed her legs? In that, Basic Instinct. He was the guy in the room watching her when she crossed her legs. He was one of the two detectives.
Oh, really? Wow, good memory.
And now he's Newman.
He's great. How about, here's the thing I pick up on. I've seen some of the episodes I've seen so many times, it's ridiculous. But Mr. Lippman, Elaine's boss, Mr. Lippman, whenever they go to his office, he's like the CEO of this huge publishing company. And I don't know if they were skimping on sets or whatever, but he's got like basically a school teacher desk and a chair and a plant. It's like the worst set design ever. It's beneath Seinfeld. You don't even care because he's even really funny,
My favorite boss on the show was George's boss. What was the guy he was? He didn't care about that was the one with the human fund where George was. He said, I have a $10,000. I don't know what to do with here. Put it in your charity. Do you remember that guy? He was also the guy who was invited to the Festivus dinner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The bald guy.
Yeah. I like what George's father says to him. So my son says you're an idiot.
Isn't that the one too where he's like, hey, George, who's the suit?
Yeah, right.
They just call people.
He's also the guy. He says, "Boy, we take it on the chin." And he goes out and he's eating an ice cream sundae. And George says, "You're supposed to be working." Well, what are you going to do?
Favorite one, just a guest star, not a big name, was Manhands. I mean, that was one of the funniest episodes I've ever. Hey, Don, we got to continue this sometime. This is so much fun, and you're obviously more well versed at Seinfeld than I am. But thanks for hanging out with me tonight. This is a lot of fun.
All right, my friend.
We'll do it again. All right, that's Don Rosen. Check out his show every morning on WRJN on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can download the app and listen to Don. He's got a great show. He's been a radio forever. He knows his way around the track. Conrad, take a memo.
Okay.
I want to be more like Don Rosen when I get older.
Sounds good.
Jerry Seinfeld's best friend. That's how I introduced Don. I know they weren't best friends, but they were very good friends when they were young, and that's kind of cool. All right, so tomorrow night on the show, who do we have, Conrad? We got a good show again tomorrow night, too. Who is...
Well, we got Hundreds of Beavers.
Hundreds of Beavers. Mike Cheslick, the director, will join me.
Miss
Roper.
Yes.
Mrs. Roper will, let's just say Mrs. Roper will get a lot more people listening.
Yes.
And director Justin Superstar. That's tomorrow night. I'd like to thank Rick Overton, Don Rosen. Thank you for all your texts, and we got more calls tonight, too. That's always fun. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.